like the man with the painted face said, here we go for another weekly episode of your favorite City of Heroes radio talk show. Well, might be the only one, but who cares? It's time for Safe COH Radio. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast. Thank you for joining us for the next 90 minutes of superherodom at its finest. I'm your host, Pogo Man, from the Virtue Server, as always. And along with me tonight, ladies and gentlemen, Psychic Numero Uno, Supremo, Maximo, whatever else you want to add to the end of that O. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the legend behind the Titan Network himself, Tony V.
Oh, boy.
Hello. Hello, Tonio.
Hello.
How's it going?
Oh, say, can you see?
I don't know where I got that intro from tonight. It just hit me at the last second.
I don't know.
That was interesting.
So how are
you? Top. I'm doing okay.
Anything exciting going on?
With me personally, no, not really. But I do get a bunch of stuff to go over today. I got in the last few days. I got my very first loot crate box in the mail yesterday.
Was it a bomb?
No, it was a box. It was a loot crate.
Okay.
No, it didn't blow up. Just some cool stuff that I'm going to go over. And solicitations are the key word tonight.
Solicitations? Well, same to you, man.
Solicitations, as in comic book solicitations.
Oh, okay.
I got my free DC Comics previews, and what's so special about this is the whole magazine is dedicated to the big DC Universe rebirth that starts at the end of May with a big 80-page one-shot special we've been talking about. So, my comic book store is also nice enough to give me it's free, but he only had so many, so he gives to his preferred customers. It is a special, I did not know this, Captain America to turn 75. And it's a free Captain America anniversary magazine that I was perusing through last night. All kinds of neat stuff about the good captain.
Well, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Happy 75th. He doesn't look a day over 25 or 35. He doesn't look a day over 74, but... I don't know what I was going to say. I digress. And we have to talk about next week's 12th anniversary of City of Heroes being celebrated across the land in this celebration.
So what are you doing for the anniversary?
I don't know. I was thinking about, should we try and switch the show to Thursday night to be part of it? Or do we just want to go and just hang out and celebrate and then do the show the next night? Because it seems a few of the Cape DJs have their time slots already. I'm looking over the schedule here. Here, this is the recorded schedule event on the Titan Network. This was posted 2 days ago. I'm going to go by Eastern times. 3 p.m. Eastern. The Cape Radio live with One Hit Wonder. Trivia contest at Atlas Park. That starts at 3:15. And an hourly costume contest in Atlas Park until 9:30 p.m. Eastern. We have another trivia contest at Atlas Park starting at 5:15 Eastern. 7 p.m. Eastern, we have the Cape Radio live with DJ Nexus. And then another trivia contest at 7:15. And then at 10 p.m. Eastern, we have the Atlas Park Weenie Roast and DJ Valor's last broadcast at 10 p.m. Eastern, as I said. And then we have one more costume contest. Oh, the costume contest finals for Mr. and Ms. Paragon City 2016. And that starts at 10:30 that night. So I'm thinking, if we do our 9 to 10:30 on a Thursday night, we're going to cut into the first half hour of DJ Valor's. Well, we won't cut into it because we're not in the same station. But, you know, it'll cut into that.
It's up to you, man.
I know. Okay.
I'm just the mascot.
You're just the mascot. I'm going to bring on Diamond D. Hello, Diamond D.
Hello.
And I had to unmute myself. Hey, guys. How's it going?
How's it going, D? What's happening?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me tonight, guys.
No,
exciting show.
Oh, you're always
got planned.
What was that?
I say it sounds like you got an exciting show planned for this evening.
Yes, the opening of the loot crate. DC Comics previews and Cap's 75th anniversary.
Now, did I hear correctly that the DC Universe is set to restart at the end of May?
Yes.
At the beginning of May, May 7th, it's Free Comic Book Day.
Yes, and tying in with that, there is a special issue number 0 that ties into the Rebirth. It's a prequel to the big Rebirth issue, and I don't know if I'm going to be in town for that because I'm supposed to go down to Florida. My folks still haven't said what date we're leaving, but I would be if I can't make it to that, I would be eternally grateful if somebody could get their hands on a copy of that number 0 issue and get it to me somehow.
That would be. I will try to. If you send me a message,
yes.
As you know, I've got some people that work in the biz, and I will try to get you a copy. How does that sound?
Very cool. I most appreciate it. Like I said, what is today? Today is 22nd of April, and I still don't know when we're going down to Florida. Yeah, but
They do have comic book shops in Florida.
Yes, I know, but I have a local comic book store here, and I'm not familiar with the comic book stores down there, and we might be on the road that day. So if I'm on the road, it doesn't matter where there's a comic book store. I won't be anywhere near one.
When you tell them to stop, you say, hey,
yeah, no,
it is Free Comic Book Day. You know, we're going
to
do that.
I just need to stop by this store for like 5 minutes.
Exactly. But you know how big that weekend is? It's Mother's Day on Sunday. Captain America Civil War comes out that weekend. And Free Comic Book Day.
Oh, my God. It's going to be a weekend packed of nothing but adventure and excitement.
That's right. But the weekend before, on April 30th, it's International Tabletop Gaming Day.
Woot.
Another big day.
That's right. Another huge day.
Huge day.
And, oh, I see this thing about Munchkin. I should have marked it down. I found this thing in the advertisement in the Captain America issue. I believe it's supposed to be coming out. It says coming out in April. It is, I believe, it's a Marvel Superheroes Munchkin game. If I could find it, I don't know why I didn't save it. Oh, also, a couple of, if you're into online gaming apps on your phone, there is something called Marvel Adventures Academy. And Marvel's Avengers Alliance 2 is now out.
Yeah, you know who did the artwork for Avengers Academy?
No.
Oh. I do. It's David Nakayama.
Oh, really? Very cool.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of work on that.
Cool. I just tried it out before. It's definitely, here it is, Marvel Munchkin. Unleash your super soldier with Munchkin Marvel Edition. April 2016. By Steve Jackson Games. But is it out yet? There's only one thing to do. Sorry, I'm a little out of it. It is my brother-in-law's birthday today. He turns 21 again for the second time. And we had cake before, and I just ran in the door about 8:20, 8:30. Somewhere in there. Oh, I didn't know that. This weekend is PAX East.
It is. Speaking of mobile gaming apps, if you guys have been listening to the show, there's a little app game I've been playing called Star Trek Timelines.
Really?
And the creators of that is Disruptor Beam, and they are actually at PAX East this weekend. And, you know, it feels like I've just been repeating myself for the past 2 weeks where this game is concerned. But, you know, I could never get into Star Trek Online. I tried when it first came out before, you know, City of Heroes closed. I could never get out of the tutorial zone. It couldn't hold my interest. And then, of course, this closure happened, and then the Cape went over to the Cryptic Games, you know, Champions Online, and then Star Trek Online was in there. So I'm like, all right, you know, we'll give this a try again. I had to create – excuse me, guys.
Okay.
Excuse me, I had to sneeze. Sorry about that.
Oh, no problem, no problem.
So I created another character, all my stuff from way back when, because I had like a free Constitution class ship. None of that was found. So, you know, I went and created another account and did all that happiness. And I couldn't get her out of the tutorial zone. And it's just like, I played a lot of Star Trek games by Activision in the late 90s and early 2000s, like Star Trek Armada 1 and 2, Elite Force 1 and 2, what was another one? Star Trek Academy, Klingon Academy. So, you know, if you guys remember, like, when Activision had the license, they were... Oh, Star Trek Judgment Rights, that was another one that came out around that time, in the 25th anniversary. So, you know, those were the type of games that, you know, I kind of remember playing, and Armada 1 and 2 is just... It's a build, it's a RTS type. I mean, it's exactly what the title says. You build an armada, and it's fun. And it's like, I actually found a patch to where I can make it work on Windows 7. I still, believe it or not, I say I probably loaded it up within the past month, within the past 30 days. It still holds today.
Cool.
So, you know, I thought, you know, this would make a really cool app game, you know, or Star Trek Away Team. That was another one that was... So, but again, you know, Star Trek Online, the MMO community, don't get me wrong, I love MMOs, obviously that's why we're here, but I just, I just could not get into it. You know, I don't know what it was, I just, you know, whatever. So, I don't even know, I think it was probably through like a Facebook ad suggestion, so I downloaded it, and honestly, it has really held my attention for, I'd say, the past 2 or 3 weeks. They do little events and stuff, and it is a really fun, it is free to play. You can get quickly into microtransaction hell because you can buy stuff in there. You don't have to, it will help you. You know, I had some Google Play credits that, you know, I've just had sitting around for like 2 or 3 years, and I've just never really applied it, so, you know, I used some of that. I didn't have to, I just kind of wanted to last week, one of the events that they're running. But again, you know, it is fun. I highly, highly recommend it. It's free, you know, and I mean, check it out.
Very cool. I think I will. Now, whilst you were talking, I was multitasking, I looked up this Marvel Munchkin game. It doesn't come out till the 25th.
What is Munchkin?
Munchkin is like a card game. Like, it started out, the original thing was you were like a hero in a dungeon. Okay? And okay. Basically, you had, I think, if I remember, I've only played it a couple of times. You draw cards, and there's either a monster you could fight or treasure you get, and that helps raise your level, or, you know, stupid abilities. Like, it helps you to hit, gives you things like that. Basically, the version I have the deluxe one with a map. And basically, you want to be the first player to get to level 10.
It's important to remember, though, it's a spoof of, like, adventure gaming.
Yes. Yeah, everything, it's so, all a spoof. Yes.
So, like, you start out, you have these cards that determine, like, the monsters you fight and the equipment you can use and what classes you are and all that kind of stuff. And the monsters you fight are stuff like, you know, the lower level ones are, like, you know, a level 1 bad smell, you know, or something like that, you know. And you work your way up to, like, you know, the one that kills everybody every time, at least in the original game, is the, like, the level 16 or 18 or whatever it is, the White Brothers, like WIGHD. And
yes. There's not a serious card in the deck.
Yeah, just, I mean, your equipment is stuff like, you know, the boots of, you know, +4 pointy heels, and, you know, your gauntlet of you know, infinite destruction. It's very tongue in cheek.
Yeah. And what I remember is watching Tabletop with Felicia Day playing that, and all she did was she just kept collecting items for her wardrobe when she played. She just had all these items. She didn't care about winning or killing anything. She just wanted her character to have all this cool stuff.
Cool. Now, you see, my son, he plays a version of the game, I guess, and so,
oh,
you know...
Oh, there are many versions of Munchkin, I found out. There's Supers, which I want to get. Ninja, I'd love to get my hands on. Oh, wait, I have the whole list here. Hang on, I'm going to give you... This is what I found. I'm going to post it in the chat when I just went to Munchkin Marvel, and that's the top one, but there's a whole list of every version of Munchkin they have. And like I said, I'm looking at Amazon Prime. It's going to be in stock on April 25th, and it's $5.99 them. Also, there is a game called Legendary. It's a deck-building game, And they have a Captain America 75th anniversary version that's also coming out on the 25th. So I've never played that, so I don't know if anybody's into Legendary. There is a Captain America version of that, which I'm also going to post that in the chat right now for people to check it out and enjoy. And just in time, Tony, just in time for International Tabletop Day. I was waiting for you to fill it. Come on, man. That was a lead-in for you. It was right there. I set it up. I set it up beautifully, and you didn't.
Oh, I thought you were, like, asking or something.
No. It was perfectly just in gear, because next Saturday next Saturday is International Tabletop Day. It's almost here.
Woot.
Oh, and I want to say this on air. I don't think he's listening, but just in case he is, happy 21st birthday for the second time to my brother-in-law, Donato San Germito.
There you go.
I said it. They're going out to the Manor House, and they have asked me to be on standby to be a driver to pick them up later.
So speaking of International Tabletop Gaming Day,
did you see
they released the schedule of games that they're going to play on tabletop next year?
Oh, this year you mean, or next? Oh, you mean for next season?
Yeah, next season, season 4.
You know, I still haven't watched this. I still haven't finished this season. What is wrong with me?
What is wrong with you, man?
But I can say this. Happily, I could say this. I am now all caught up on Jessica Jones and both seasons of Daredevil.
So do you want to know what games they're playing?
Sure. Hit me with it. Hit us with the news, Tony, if you'd be so kind, good sir.
Here they are. Lanterns. Fury
of
Dracula. I think I've heard of all of these, but okay. Mysterium. That one I actually want to see.
Wait. I hear tapping. Who's tapping?
I don't know. It's not me.
I don't know. All right, go ahead.
I don't think it's me, because I have mine mute.
Rich, stop tapping.
It's not me. I'm the one who's asking. I'm the one who's asking who's tapping. All right, go ahead. Go on.
Mysterium, which I think actually looks really cool. You play like one of the players is a ghost, and the others are trying to figure out, and the ghost can't talk, and you're trying to figure out like a mystery. It looks pretty good. Codenames, which has actually been like really popular lately. So, and they're going to have a 6-player game with Codenames. Fate, core RPG. Dragon Farkle. Flashpoint. Have you ever played Farkle, by the way? It's a dice game.
I think I Farkle online. You know, they have a game, version. I played that one.
Yeah, it was a real popular online game for a while. Everybody had it on their mobile devices and everything.
And what is this one?
This one is Dragon Farkle.
Ooh, sounds
so
interesting.
Probably about the same, except that you get eaten by dragons or something. I don't know. Flashpoint. Harbor. Eldritch Horror.
I've heard of that one.
Eldritch Horror?
I think I've heard of that one and Star Realm, actually.
Eldritch Horror, it's a lot like, what's the game with the Elder Sign? Elder Sign.
Oh, okay.
I think. I could be wrong, but we'll see. Star Realms, Monarch, Star Trek, 5-Year Mission. I haven't heard of that one. I'll have to look and see what that is. Champions of Midgard, Steam Park, Tiny Epic Galaxies, Welcome to the Dungeon, and Misspent Youth RPG.
That could be about
anything. They're actually they're planning on having 2 RPGs in. Interesting.
Cool.
So anyway.
And when does season 4 start up?
I don't know. It does not say.
All right. Because like I said, I still need to finish watching season 3. Are they doing a Kickstarter for season 4, or are they so good this time around they don't need to?
I think they're good this time around, but they don't need to.
They probably made a lot of money with the third season, so.
Yeah. So I'm pretty stoked about that. I mean, you know, that's a cool. I like Will Wheaton. Although I gotta say, if I ever met him like personally, I'm not sure that we would probably get along that well. Not that I hate his guts or anything, but I don't know. But as far as the show, he's really good on the show. I think he does a really great job. And
well,
and
I gotta say,
I thoroughly enjoy it.
I was gonna say the only really like tabletop game I played or you know in recent is Rummy Cube or Rummio with my mom, and then with a family with siblings, I have played several times Cards Against Humanity.
Oh my God, man! I hate
which,
that game.
Oh, I love that. I've won several times. I just love that. I love the combinations like people come up with for these things.
Yes. Not me.
Why? You hate, why? What's the matter? You don't like it, huh?
It's satanic.
Why is it satanic? What the hell, man?
I just don't like it. I don't know. There's just I'm not what you know. I was never like into the Andrew Dice Clay humor and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. It's just not that funny to me. And it's not that I'm a prude. I'm not a prude. I don't know. It's like, hey,
Cody's a prude. Who said that? What? Who said that?
You did just then. But
no,
but yeah, it's just you know, I just don't get that. I just don't get into that kind of humor. I'm not. It's not that. Like I said, it's not that I'm a prude. I just don't. I don't know. It's just not funny to me. I guess that's it. I've played it several times, and
right.
I tend to do really badly because it's like, yeah, I can put these cards together in some, you know, combination that doesn't make sense or whatever. But it's just that's just not funny to me. I don't know.
All right. You know what else I'm going to order? All right. You know what? I'm going to splurge on myself for tabletop day. I'm ordering several Munchkin games.
If you have the people that will play Munchkin with you.
Yeah.
Munchkin's one of those things, too, that it's like if you play two or three times, it's a lot of fun. But
right.
If you play like seven or eight, it gets really old kind of fast.
Well, you know me and my love of superhero-dom, so I want to get – I'm going to order the Steve Jackson Super Munchkin.
But you really need like three or four people to play.
I know. But hold
with
on. I see a couple,
kind of boring.
I see a
but,
couple of different things here. So what the –
But it is a great I like the illustrations, too. You know who John Kovalik does all the illustrations on the cards?
You know what it is? I think that's why I want to get these, because I just love looking at the cards.
Because he does Dork Tower, which is funny, which I think is funny. If
I've
you want to know the kind of humor I do like, read Dork Tower, because I think it's a stitch.
I have seen several of those. I want. Okay, you know what else I'm going to get? Munchkin Foo.
Yeah, the martial arts, Asian martial arts movie.
Yes, because I, you know, with like the Pogo Man stories, I never told you about this, the whole thing behind the Kick Fu thing. Well, in his original, like when we played Champions tabletop game, the role-playing game, some of his backgrounds, you know, he invented Kick Fu, which is basically he took like all the forms of martial arts, found the best, you know, kicks and like leg moves he could do, you know, like he could do a leg trip and just cool moves. But he would watch like kung fu movies and go, "Oh, I could do that." So he would take a lot of kung fu movie moves and put them into his arsenal of attacks.
I don't know. John Kovalik probably doesn't do the Marvel Edition Munchkin one though, does he?
I don't
probably
know.
Probably use officially licensed art
probably,
for that.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, it looks like that from what I see. Yeah, it's definitely. This might be the least satirical of the Munchkins.
Nevertheless, if you've never played Munchkin, it is a lot of fun. If you, especially if you have like three or four people, it's a stitch. I mean, it's a lot of.
Well, you know what it is too. My family, my sister and my brother-in-law and my stepsister, my nephew, they're kind of like if you talk them into playing this game, you kind of show it to them. I think they get into it. So that's why. I try these things.
It's really great with, like, teenagers. Teenagers think it's hilarious.
Oh, I remember the first time I tried it was with a bunch of teenagers at my, at the time, one of the local gaming stores I went to. And
I have several versions. I have Star Munchkin, and I think I actually have a copy of Super Munchkin. I don't think I've ever played it, though.
I got, like I said, I got the box set, the deluxe, Munchkin one. Oh, yeah. Oh, hey, MacGyver Fan 100. Yeah, he says it's a lot of fun, but gets really crazy when you start mixing decks.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You can mix decks, and sometimes, you know, as good an idea as that is, sometimes it doesn't work that well because, like, in the Spy Munchkin one version, there's like different, instead of classes and type, you have different sort of mechanisms for it. That
I'm sorry, Code Warrior just posted a link in the chat for Monopoly Cthulhu.
Yeah, I think I've seen that just a few minutes ago. I think it. Where did it go?
Isn't there a Cthulhu version of Pandemic coming out?
Is there? Cool. Cool. I think there should be a version of everything for Cthulhu. Not just me, though. Okay, now where's the Legends game? I wanted to post the link for that one. Okay, and by the way, all these links I'm talking about here, I am posting on our Save CUH Radio Facebook page. And by the way, we got 4 more likes this week. We are now up to 254 likes, Tony.
What?
Yeah. And thank you all. Thank you all for... Why is it... That's weird. Okay, sorry about that. I don't know why it's doing. Well, I'm typing in legendary. You know, it's the link for that legendary thing, and at the end of it says Munchkin. But I think that's part of my that's part of the search I did. And Strike of
One. If you want board game suggestions, though,
yes,
you can come. You can come and talk to me. I'm very good at board game suggestions.
Well, you know what, Tony? I was going to say, can you throw together like a top 10 list before the show's over, and maybe we go over it at the end of the show?
Well, it kind of depends on what kind of board games you're into and how many people you have and what their ages are and that kind of stuff.
Well, just throw a little quick, you know, because, I mean, next week we're not going to have time. I mean, we're doing the show Friday. That's the night before. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if we're going to have enough time to.
How long do you have? Well, let me ask you. How long do you have?
Well, as of right now, we have 8 days to the gaming day.
No. I mean, like, I'm talking about for board game recommendations. Like, how long do you want your game to last? You want something that's kind of 15 to 20 minutes or 2 hours?
Well, you know what? Give us a few things. Because I find, you know, what I like to do is, you know, sometimes when we play games, we either, like, one of two ways. We want a game that's going to take all night to play. Or if we're trying new games, we want, like, 3 or 4 games.
Well, that's sort of another aspect that I always ask people who want board game suggestions is,
yeah,
how complicated do you like your games? Do you like something
right.
You can just jump in and play in 5 minutes, or do you want something that you need to study the rule book for a half hour and then, you know? And I don't mean that disparagingly. I mean that, you know, sometimes complicated games are really fun because there's a lot of strategy involved. But like I can tell you, the best general overall, the best game ever is Ticket to Ride. If you've never played Ticket to Ride, you need to get a copy of it. It's a little on the expensive side. I think it's like $50 to $60. But it's something that the rules are kind of, you know, in the middle. They're not really, really simple, but they're not really, really complicated. Anybody can learn to play it in about 10 or 15 minutes. It's something that has a just the absolute perfect balance between strategy and luck. It's fun. The rules are pretty simple. It takes about 30 to 45 minutes to play a game. And I have never met a person that didn't like playing Ticket to Ride. So that's like my number one. Now, that doesn't mean that's my personal favorite game. It just means that if you want a massively popular game that everybody will enjoy, and it doesn't matter if you have 2 people playing or 5 people playing, it's going to be a really fun time. Ticket to Ride. If you don't have a copy of Ticket to Ride, get a copy of Ticket to Ride. Because that's great if you have 45 minutes to an hour to kill and you got 3 people in the house with you. It's like, let's go play a game of Ticket to Ride.
And that's the one where you build the train lines, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
okay.
You have these trains, and you get points for building trains between cities, and you get bonus points at the end of the game for meeting like destination. Like if you get a train from, excuse me, like Dallas to Boston. Excuse me, I can't talk now.
You okay? You went
yeah.
a little high there. You went a little high there, Tony. I was getting worried about
it. I know.
You.
I breathed in a large piece of dust or something. Probably swallowed a spider. But
probably. Holy mackerel but, there.
But, yeah, Ticket to Ride is you know, no matter what your play style or what kind of games you enjoy, I always recommend Ticket to Ride because that's across the board. Everybody loves that. Now, past that, it really kind of depends on what you like. If you don't like a lot of, and this is something that's kind of new, is like within the past 5 to 10 years, these have kind of come around, is that if you're not like really competitive, if you don't like that stress of like having to sit there and square off against somebody else, a great type of game are the co-op games that are out now. So stuff like on the easier side, I would say, is stuff like Forbidden Island. Or Castle Panic is really good. Pandemic is a really popular one. It's a little bit more complicated, and the setup time takes a little bit longer, but it is a lot of fun. And in these games, it's you against the game. It's not you against the other people playing. If you're playing with kids, I would suggest something like Cockroach Poker. Because it's you play and you're trying to like get other people. There are two aspects of that game that are really fun. One is that it's just kind of silly because it's got bugs. You know, you got frogs and scorpions and flies and cockroaches and everything. Really simple game to pick up. You can read the rules and be up and playing in about 5 to 10 minutes. Kids love it because you know the bugs are all silly and. It's challenging. The other thing that's kind of interesting about that game is that there's one person who loses instead
right.
of one person who wins. So if you're playing with like five people, eventually you get to the point where you're like all trying to pile on one person. But if that person plays well enough, it can backfire. So it's really fun. Cockroach Poker is a great one if you're playing with kids. Castle Panic is also great if you're playing with kids. I mean, I could sit here and go all night if you want game suggestions. If you want something a little more complicated, I would suggest something like a great complicated co-op game is Shadows Over Camelot. They actually played that on tabletop one time.
Co-op games. I have one, and it's superhero related. Sentinels of the Multiverse.
Yeah, it's a card game.
Yeah, but they won't do it on tabletop for some reason.
I don't do a lot of card games, although there is one. There's a deck building game called Dominion that's really popular. If you're into, and I like it. I got to say, full disclosure, I can't stand Magic the Gathering. I can't stand it. I hate that whole, and games like it where you like have to go buy booster packs and pay a lot of money to you know, have your kick-ass collection.
That,
and everything.
Oh, God, yes.
Me.
You know what's funny? Really quickly, I agree with you. I'm the same thing with those collectible card games or CCGs. In my local hobby store back in the 90s, I saw a Darth Vader card. And I said, well, how much is it? $200. And I'm assuming you're using kick-ass throughout the game. Well, one use only during the game.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, but it's super mega rare. I don't care if it's a fucking unicorn. It's $200 for a stupid card.
Yeah. I don't do that. That's insane. And you know what? If somebody else wants to spend all their money doing that, that's fine. But I don't want any part of it. But Dominion is, you don't do that. You go out, you buy the box, and you can actually get the, what do they call it? The big box or whatever it is. It has like 3 or 4 expansions that come in it. And,
oh, yeah.
Complete game though. You don't go out and buy. You can go out and buy expansions, but that doesn't give any player any advantages or anything. It's just, you know, extra cards you can play with. But it's a great deck building game. It's all like complete within the box. You don't have to go out and buy expansions or any of that kind of crap. It's all you know, integrated in one box. But it's a great game though. Dominion, check it out.
Okay, all right. Now this is what I was gonna say. Okay. You established that Darth Vader card was $200 for some reason back in 96, okay? I'm afraid to see what that card would be worth these days. I just put in my Amazon Prime cart Munchkin Foo 1 and 2, Super Munchkin, and the Munchkin Marvel Edition, Deluxe Edition, okay? All four, $80.
If you play Munchkin,
Yeah.
I would suggest getting the Munchkin app on your phone.
Okay.
Because it'll do stuff like you can roll the, you know, you can use it to do your die rolls. You can use it to keep track of your level.
And you know what? I got a new phone a couple weeks ago, but my old phone, they had a phone app for Sentinels of the Multiverse as well.
Well, there you go. Well, the Munchkin app, you don't actually play Munchkin in the Munchkin app. You just
use it to
track of your stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's what this one does, too. Like, for each of the heroes, you can keep track of your hit points. You keep track of the villain hit points. You keep track of all that good stuff. Oh, and while I have a moment here, I'd like to say, Evening Haggis, I guess he left. Hello, Shrapnel, and hello, Strike of Von Hetty. I hope I'm saying the last name right. Thank you for joining me in on the steps of City Hall in Atlas Park in Paragon Chat. Thank you for the weekly.
Code Warrior mentioned Firefly, the board game. I actually have a copy of that. I've never played it because according to the instruction, it takes like 3 to 4 hours to play.
Oh, wait, hold on. There's a Munchkin level counter that's $4.99. Levels counter for Munchkin, is that what you were talking about?
I don't know. Is it from Steve Jackson's
game?
There's a free
one. Well, there's a free one, and then the Steve Jackson one costs like $5.
I'd go with the Steve Jackson one. Throw the guy $5. He deserves it.
I know. I just want you. Oh, you know what? I played Shade Geek once. I think that's when we played. We played something Munchkin, and it was one of those. I can't remember what it was. Like we were lazy. You know, you were just laying around, goofing around. It was that type of game.
Yeah, I think I have seen Shaggy play, but I've never played it myself. I didn't.
What was that called?
Shaggy.
Yes.
But yeah, if I had to make a top 10 of board games, I'll put Ticket to Ride right at the top.
Yes. What about I'm going to mention this game. You didn't mention. I'm going to ask you this one. Settlers of Catan. What do you think of that game?
It depends on the type of player. That is sort of a competitive game. So if you get stressed out by competing with other players, you'll probably want to avoid it. But if you do like playing against other players and you enjoy competition, it is extremely fun. it strikes a really good balance between skill and strategy as well. There is the very real danger that you'll come away pissed off at your friends because it's like, if you'll just give me that damn ore for my sheep, you know, and it's one that towards the end, it shifts from like trying to do well for yourself. It shifts to trying to screw other people over. So you know, when you roll that 7 and you move the thief, and it's like, why are you putting it there? You're picking on me, and I'm behind. You know, that kind of stuff breaks out during Settlers of Catan. But if you like, like games where, like, what are some of the classic games where you can kind of like Risk. If you ever played, you play Risk, there's an element of Risk where it's like you kind of have to decide if someone starts getting ahead by too much in Risk, you really have to kind of start picking on them or else they'll run away with it. And you know how it is, if you're that person, it pisses you off when somebody's like, I'm going to attack, you know, Alaska from Kamchatka, and it's like, but you know, Steve is ahead. Why are you picking on me? Settlers of Catan has that sort of same dynamic. You know, it's like, why are you putting the thief next to my hex? You know, I'm not ahead here. Well, yeah, but you're about to get the largest army, and you know, but given that, if you like competitive games, Settlers of Catan is really fun.
I gotta tell a story really quick. I can't remember the name of the game now. It's like Monopoly, but I think it was like Conquest of the Empires or just Conquest, where basically you have your own Roman Empire. Like your main general is like Caesar, and you split up the map of the Mediterranean to start, or you get a piece and you got to build up. And I was playing with two friends that weekend. Well, they were going head to head so much, and I decided I was just going to build up my forces, right? So they finish, they're not even paying attention to me. All of a sudden they look over, all my country, I had like 5 things on the bottom, packed with troops. They're like, oh, shit. all of a sudden I just came across from both ends and just wiped them out like three turns. Because they had nothing left. They were they wasted, they were so hell bent on defeating each other. They left me alone, and so for the entire 2 hours they were picking on each other. I was just building my forces and my resources, and like they couldn't, they had nothing to stop me. I think once I focused on getting them, it took another half hour to finish them both off because they wanted to play to the end, till there was like one person left.
Yeah, I mean Risk and Monopoly. there are two critical problems with Risk and Monopoly that really bother me, and that is that it's like both of them take like 3 to 5 hours to play, and that's a long time for one game. But the thing is that within like about an hour or so of starting the game, you know who's going to win. And from that point out, it's just like a slog to, you know, formally, you know, get to the end of the game. But
yeah.
Whereas all these games I'm talking about, that's another aspect of stuff like Ticket to Ride and stuff that you always feel like you're in it. Even if you're way behind, you never know, you know, you might have destination tickets worth 15 or 20 points, and your opponent might have destination tickets that are only worth 7. And if they don't make a route, you know, that could be a 30-point swing in the game right there. So you always feel like you're in it. Right up until the very end, you know, and I like that sort of, and the other thing is that someone who's been playing the game for like, you know, 5 or 10 years might have a little bit of a strategic advantage over you, but they're not going to run away with it, you know. Even a brand spanking new player can always feel like they can win the game. I'll tell you what, it's also really fun, and it's really kind of intimidating if you pull it out of the box and start looking at it, but it is unbelievably fun, is a game called Lords of Waterdeep. Have you ever played
that? I've heard of that. No, I've heard of all these games.
Oh, my God, that game is so fun.
You must remember, all my local friends I grew up with or played games with have moved away. My family, not so much into gaming. I'm trying to get them into gaming, so it was just me.
I have a suggestion for that.
Yes.
There are, especially out on like Meetup, there are gaming groups all over the country. And you can go out to Meetup or just Google like the name. What's the name of the city you live in?
I live in a town called Shirley. The name of the town is named Shirley after William Shirley, one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. It turns out where I live, it's a very historic area, especially from the time of the Revolutionary War.
But if you go out to like Meetup and put in the name of your city and look for like board game groups or something like that, you can or even little surrounding towns, or if you're close to, like, I'm close to Atlanta, so, you know, I could put in Atlanta and there's like 50,000 board gaming groups. Or my little community I live in up here is called Norcross. You can Google like Norcross board gaming or something like that. And I mean, I found a group that's literally about a mile and a half from my house, and there's about 30 people that meet up there every Saturday and play board games. So And what they do is, you know, they'll split up into groups of like 4 to 6 people, and everybody brings, you know, a bucket of board games that they have, you know, like those big plastic bins, storage bins of board games. So, you know, there's always, you know, 100 games there that you can play, and you just kind of split up into groups of 4 to 6 people and have at it. And some of them last, you know, 4 hours. This one in Norcross lasts like from 2 p.m. until midnight. You can play all day if you want to, and it is so much fun. You get to meet a bunch of new people, and
well, I hate to say it, but my problem is with my back nowadays. I don't know how long I could sit up, so I wouldn't want to go there, hang out, and then like 10 minutes into it, oh, I gotta go, guys, sorry.
Oh, you can lay down.
Well, it depends on the place, you know. And I am looking up gaming in my area. There are several. I just typed in gaming in my town. Well, first I typed in my town. I went 25 miles. there are several groups in the area, it looks like.
And typically they'll meet at like either a restaurant or maybe a library, or sometimes gaming stores themselves will host.
And as a matter of fact, the first group is called Ironmark Games Meetup, and the first game they mention in their list, Settlers of Catan.
Yeah, some of them are themed, like they some of them are like card game meetups and that kind of stuff. But it's definitely worth checking into. And even if you just go for like, you know, 10 minutes the first day, you know, typically they're the kind of things that you can stay as long as you want to. But it's very informal and casual, and everybody's great. I would highly suggest to the public at large that if you don't have like a group of close friends that you game with on a regular basis, if you have a close group of friends, then start one, you know. But if you don't, then find a gaming meetup and have at it, because it's actually quite popular these days. There are lots and lots of groups all around, and typically in any little community you'll have at least two or three groups that meet up. And if you're closer to a larger city, you know you'll have 10 or 15 in your immediate area. So lots and lots of fun out there to be had, and it's also a really good chance to play and experience new games too, you know, to see if you like a game. I mean, I've played games at my meetup. You know, we've played games that I don't have, like Concordia. Orleans is really fun. That kind of stuff. Somebody mentioned Avalon Hill up there. Yeah, there it is.
Oh,
Avalon
they have Hill's a bunch of good fight. Games.
Oh my God, I never played an Avalon Hill game. I was always so intimidated. It's like when the rule book is 150 pages long.
Oh,
it's like.
I never played. I just know a lot of people said, oh, yeah, they have a lot of great games. And I just remember over the years hearing great things about Avalon Hill. But
see, and Code Warrior mentioned Axis and Allies, too many pieces.
Yes.
That it was
a pain. Yeah.
Pandemic has a lot of setup to it that's kind of a pain. So if you're into co-op games, Pandemic is sort of like on the top of that heap, but you might want to try something like Forbidden Island, which is a lot simpler, has a lot quicker setup. You can jump in, and the rules are a little bit easier. I've never played Nuclear War, the card game.
I've heard of that too. See, I hear about these games. I just don't have
But if you're into card
gaming,
if you like cards, I can suggest something like Munchkin. What's the other one I was talking about? Dominion. Oh my God, that's such a fun game. What else? I've been playing a game lately with my nephew. It's called Hanabi. That's a fun game. It has an interesting mechanic, and it's especially fun if you have like three or four people. Because what you do is you draw five cards. You always have five cards, and you're trying to build these firework stacks.
Oh,
and
cool.
And the sort of twist on the mechanic is that when you draw cards, you hold them in your hand with the back of the card facing yourself, and you can never, ever look at your own cards.
Wow.
So you're sitting there, and you have to each turn, you can either tell somebody else about their cards. You know, you can either tell them which cards are numbers or of a specific color or whatever, or you can play a card or you can discard a card. And you're trying to play cards to build these firework stacks, but because you don't know what your own cards are, you can only, you know, you have to decide what to play based on what other people are telling you about your cards. So if you want like a really fun twist on a game, Hanabi, you might want to check that out. Hanabi.
Okay.
Great games out there. Yeah. We should start like a board game, vlog or something. I mean, that would be a stitch.
That would be a hoot and a half.
I could sit here and talk all night about board games. And since I work nights now, I could
literally. Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
You literally could. That's right.
I
you
could
stay
up until, you know, dawn at 7 o'clock in the morning talking about board games. But I'll stop.
Good.
I just since you got
well,
me
you digress.
Off, this is now officially our board game theme.
Well, I'll tell you what. Since we have 37 minutes left and we're going to talk about gaming, I have one update to do tonight from Heroes and Villains. I will do that, get that out of the way, and this way we have taken care of the obligatory / gratuitous, depending on how you want to look at it, updates. So this is going to be update number 176 from Heroes and Villains. This was posted last Friday night, right about time we were going off air. Actually, after we went off air, sorry. All right, this week we've been doing more work on the game backstory and the timeline and fleshing out some more of the important historical events. One of the things that we need to be careful with is that we don't have too many events that players will feel disappointed to have missed out on. But at the same time, we don't want to have too few of them. Otherwise, it will give the impression that the world only really started getting interesting as soon as the player arrived on the scene. Fortunately, because of the structure of traditional comic book storytelling, the concept of recurring events is well supported, with things such as Marvel's Secret War series and DC's multiple crisis storylines justifying the idea of having variations on an event occur more than once. City of Heroes did this too, having the first Rictian invasion as major backstory event before the player's arrival, but also staging a second Rictian invasion later on, so that players could still experience a version of it. This doesn't mean that we have plans to rerun every single major historical event in our timeline, but we are designing them not just as pure story elements, but also as potential gameplay events at some point in the future. If we decide to take the overall game storyline in that direction. I have a heroic film this weekend, the Heroes and Villains team.
Woot. Did you ever play the City of Heroes card game?
No. I remember I was at Icon one year, and we had, actually, it was one of the few times we had a meet and greet. It was very small, very chaotic, and some guy walked in, and he was talking about that their company was going to do the card game, and in the meantime, he was trying to push, I think, the Buffy the Vampire Slayer role-playing game or card game. And
yeah.
He walked out after like 15 minutes, and we're all sitting there like, what does that have to do with our meet and greet? You know, I could see if it was about the card game and he wanted to talk about it, that would have been cool, but all of a sudden he switched to the Buffy thing, so that was as close as I got to the card game.
Yeah, the Buffy card game came out around the same time. I actually have most of the City of Heroes cards, but not all of them. I should make a list and check into getting
was it
the
that,
complete
no,
set.
Now that I think about it, was it made by the same company? Or was he just a guy who came in, heard us talking, and tried to BS his way through it?
I think it was made by the same company. I could be mistaken. Let me see. Buffy, Vampire Slayer, CCG. Let's see. Score Entertainment.
Hmm. Okay, I just looked on eBay.
But Score Entertainment no longer has the rights to this game.
Okay. Okay, looking online, Tony, they have a City of Heroes collectible card game demo deck and rules for $5.99. Somebody's selling it for $6.99. There is a City of Heroes Positron collectible card game demo deck. Maybe that's just the way that they're wording of it, but
Alderac Entertainment Group, AEG, is the one who did. Why does that sound familiar? They did a bunch of other games, didn't they?
So, two totally different companies.
Yeah, but for some reason I'm still thinking they were related somehow. I can't remember.
So that SOB came into our meet and greet, took 15 minutes out of our hour and a half meet and greet or a 60 minute meet and greet time and talked about a game that had nothing to do with us.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, this is why they sound familiar. They did Smash Up and Love Letter.
Oh, okay.
Which are extremely popular. What else have they done that I know?
Do you have the City of Heroes Statesman promo card for your deck?
I don't know.
I bought the
base, and I have a whole bunch of the expansion packs, and I don't know. My inclination is to think yes, probably so.
Okay, because if you did not, there's somebody selling two of them on eBay for $6.98 each.
$698?
No
way.
No. $6.98.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay.
$6.98. Just relax.
I just wanted to sound righteously indignated. So.
Oh, you could have. Well, Diamond, D, are you here?
I am here. Sorry.
Oh,
love
I was going to say, you've been quiet for a while. I was like, wait a minute, aren't you supposed to be? I thought you were on with us.
I am. I just letting you guys go. I was just, you know.
Okay. But if you get a chance, go to your local comic book store and seriously see if they have this DC Comics Previews magazine. It's free this month, and it's really cool. I haven't gotten in-depth into it yet, but basically it's a couple of articles at the beginning with some of the new creative teams, and then it goes through most of the solicits for the beginning of the Rebirth thing they have going on. It just goes, I think the main list just goes to the end of July. But, of course, everybody who knows what's going on here. Actually, no, I'm sorry. The first two pages, or it's not in the solicits list itself, but it does have here on pages 4 and 5 the complete list of all the Rebirth titles coming out between May 25th, which is the DC Universe Rebirth number 1 one-shot, and September 28th, which will be Batman Beyond Rebirth number 1. So once you get there, that's all the titles that are going to be involved with the Rebirth. And remember, cool. The Rebirth number 1s are just one-shots, and then the next, and most of these are going to be bi-weekly. Yeah, twice a month, bi-weekly. Going forward, a lot of these will be. And those are just going to be the normal, like, for example, I'm just looking here, like Batman will be Rebirth number 1. I'm trying to see when that one's coming out. Okay, that's going to be one of the first ones. That's actually coming out June 1st. And then after that, it'll be Batman number 1. However, Action Comics and Detective Comics are going to go back to their original numbering. So I know for, like, Detective Comics, that will start at 934. Or 935. And the same thing with Action Comics. So. And I already put my pull list in for the Rebirths. Yeah, here it is. On page 32 of the magazine, it's the previews for May and June. So it's very cool. And of course, a lot of the Rebirth is they tell you do not read unless you get the DC Universe Rebirth number 1. And like Action Comics is going to go after the Rebirth, it's going to start at 957. And then, like I said, Batman Detective Comics is going to start with 934 after their number 1 special. So. There you go.
Now this sounds like a fun game. I'm sitting here reading about this game called Pretense.
Wait. Safe Sewage Radio, the board game. I didn't know we had a board game. How come I wasn't notified about this?
Our game is a lot longer.
Then what? The 90 minutes we're on? What is one of the things? We have to get listeners? Oh, I can see it. You have to get so many listeners. Then you start a Facebook page and see how many likes you can get. And then you make appearances. I've seen this before. Okay. I'm only joking, guys. I have no idea. What the hell would even a Safe CH Radio board game be like?
Listen to this game, this Pretense game. This is great.
Okay.
This would actually
okay.
be good if you have a game night. What you do is there are 24 roles, and each role has an objective. And the whole thing of the game is you actually play it over the whole course of the night. So you're actually playing it while you're, like, playing other games. And the roles are stuff like there's a role called Champ. If you win 2 games in a row, you may take any other player's role card. There's one called Glutton. If any other player hands you food or drink, you may take their role card. There's one called Busybody. If another player makes someone call, I don't know what that is. I don't know. I'd have to look at it a little bit closer. But, you know, the different roles there are objectives. And so during the course of the night, there's one called the King. If another player sits in your seat, you may take their role card. And when you take their role card, basically you get a point for that, and then you take on their role, and you're trying to, you know, accomplish something different. But over the course of the night, you know, you're trying to collect as many people's role cards as you can. That sounds like a lot of fun. I might have to get that next time my nephew and I have a game night with his friends. We'll have to play pretense.
Shrapnel says if you could have Catopoly, we could have COHopoly. I could actually see a Monopoly version of City of Heroes, though.
I'm sure that it's probably crossed someone's mind. I don't know that they ever did it because of licensing issues.
Oh, you know, true.
It costs a lot of money. You can actually customize a Monopoly game.
I was just going to say you could do that.
And create like custom spaces and everything, but it's kind of on the expensive side.
True. But it's the fun of it.
It is. I'm going to have to check into this game now.
See, we talk about board games, but look what we're doing. We're shopping all night for games now. I hope you people are happy.
MSRP is $10. I bet Amazon has it for like $7 or $8. We'll see.
Probably.
Pretense game. $9.75. So,
well, such a bargain.
I might have to. I'm going to put that in my cart. I don't know that I'll order it right this second, but. Yeah, my nephew and I, he's like gotten kind of hardcore into gaming, and I've kind of gotten hardcore into board gaming. So we have, I mean, between us, oh my God, we've got like 30 or 40 games now that we play. And have you ever played Love Letter?
No, I've heard of it. I do know there's a Batman.
There is a Batman version of it. It sounds cheesy, but it is a very quick game, and it is extremely fun. It's sort of a bluffing game.
Right.
And it is extraordinarily fun, and it's really cheap. Let's see, what does a copy of Love Letter cost? Love Letter. you get that on Amazon for $8.33. And let me tell you, you will never, ever spend a better $8.33 in your life than for buying
really?
A Love Letter. Yeah, the Batman version is $8.17. So,
here I go. I'm typing it in on Amazon.
But I'm telling you, that game, it is intensely fun.
And wait a minute. Not only is there a Love Letter Batman Box Edition card game, there's a Love Letter Batman Capture the Inmates of Arkham Asylum Clamshell Edition. I have no idea what that is. But that game, the card game Flux, there is a Batman Flux card game.
Flux is fun. Have you ever played Flux?
No, I've seen it played. I have not played it myself, so.
Yeah, Flux is one of those games that if you have someone like I have a sister who she doesn't like really complicated rules.
Right.
She's not a fan of Flux because, you know, it's like you have to keep track of, okay, we're drawing four cards and we have to discard two and we can play three and you can only have two keepers and you know, it gets really complicated after a little bit.
I am adding Batman Love Letter to my shopping cart for these games I'm going to buy tonight after the show. So they'll be here.
I haven't actually played Batman Love Letter. I suspect the mechanics are pretty much the same as, yeah.
Tony, for $15.18, they have a Monty Python Flux.
That's probably interesting. I have the regular Flux game. I don't think I have any other.
But do I want to get now? You know what it is? I'm the only one in my family that watches Monty Python, so these jokes will be wasted on them, sadly.
Let's see. Someone actually asked the question, are there any differences between the Batman Love Letter game and the original other than the theme? Answer, there's an added rule where you get a point if you correctly guess what card a player has when you play the one card. Oh, the guard, I guess. The one card in the regular game is the guard. If you use the one to guess someone and you're correct, you get a token. You also get a token for winning a round.
All right, so really quickly, Lovelet or Batman capture the inmates is different than the other one, right? Or am I looking at the same thing? Wait.
Yeah, it's different. You want the Batman, the love letter, the first
the
one.
The box. Yeah, oh, wait, because the other one is the... I see, it's the same game. All right, yeah, I just want that one. All right. I was going to buy both, and I'm looking like, wait a minute, it's the same thing. Except the box that looks cooler. So.
I honestly don't know what the difference is.
No. Well, the one is the box, but the other is a clamshell edition. For some reason, that one costs more.
Yeah. Either way, you can't go wrong. It's extraordinarily fun and addicting, the game is. You're sitting there trying to figure out who the other player is. And if you're not familiar with the game, what it is there are cards numbered 1 through 8. Now, I'm talking about the regular edition because that's the only one I've played. But you have cards 1 through 8. Each one has a different character, like a guard, a prince, a king, a princess, and so on.
I'm sorry, I just read a thing here. The difference between the clamshell edition and the box set is the clamshell edition has a bag to put all the cards in.
Okay, well, there you go.
But I'd rather have the box set anyway, because, you know... Well, then again, it has to go in the bag because they don't have the box for it.
But I'd have to. I mean, I can tell you the exact mechanics of the game. You start out, there's a deck of cards, and by deck,
right.
I only mean there's only 16 cards, so it's not like a huge deck or anything.
Right.
Let's say you and I are playing. You get a card, and I get a card. And each of those cards has a number on it and a character. So, like, the six is the king, I think, or six may be... Let's see. I know that eight is the princess. And again, I'm talking about the regular version. Eight is the princess. One is a guard. Two is the priest. Three is something. I think the baron. Four, I think, is maybe the prince. Four is the handmaid.
No. You missed this. What Code Warrior said. He draws a card. Skype link on page broke. Go back two spaces. For the Save Sewage radio game.
Oh, okay.
No!
But no, okay. So each character has an ability. Like the handmaid, nobody can mess with you until it gets back to your turn. The prince will allow you to pick any person, including yourself if you want, to discard their card and draw another one. The priest lets you see any other person's card. You know, so each card has a different ability associated with it. So the goal is basically you want to eliminate everybody else out of the round except yourself. Or at the end of the round, you want to have the highest numbered card. And one of them, like the princess, is the highest numbered card. It's 8. So if you get the princess, you're thinking, oh, it's an automatic win. But the diabolical thing about the princess is if you discard the princess during the round for any reason, you're out of the round. So, you know, if someone manages to find, like, if someone picks up, like, the guard, the guard, which is the number one card, if you play that, then that allows you to pick someone else and guess what card they have in their hand. And if you're right, they're eliminated. So, you know, it's a lot of fun because you're sitting there and you're trying to keep yourself from getting eliminated. But you're also trying to figure out what everybody else is and use a little bit of strategy to, you know, like the king will let you swap hands. The problem is if you swap hands, well, now that person you just swapped with, they know what card you have, you know. So then you need to really kind of get rid of that card. But if you have the princess and you swap hands, then you know they've got the princess and they can't do anything because they're stuck with it. So... But if they end up with the princess at the end of the hand, then they're going to win. So it's really challenging, you know, in a very sort of try to put yourself in the other person's head kind of way. definitely worth a game. That is probably one of the most fun per buck games I've ever played. And it's massively popular, too. In the gaming community, like, everybody knows Love Letter, so...
Very cool.
But yeah, if anybody ever wants game suggestions, just hit me up on like Facebook or Twitter or something.
And I'm going to say this, if you guys are on the Save CH Radio Facebook page, I think I'm going to start a link next week that, you know, people could post where they're doing, what games they're playing, you know, on that page. So we could, you know, talk about it for the week after show, the post International Tabletop Gaming Day episode.
We should start our own little community. Maybe we should start our own online gaming meetup.
Cool. Because I guarantee you, mine will be me and Mom playing Rummy Cube, and we're probably going to do like cheese and crackers and like a shrimp plate. You know, when you go to the store, you get a shrimp ring, they call it. It's a plastic ring, and you put shrimp on it to make it look all fancy, and you put a thing of cocktail sauce in the middle. Looks all fancy schmancy. So
get a copy of Love Letter. Your mom will love playing that.
Are you sure? Because she's not a big gamer. You know what I mean? But yeah, that's on my list here. This is what I got in my cart right now. I'm splurging big time. Love Letter Batman. Batman Flux. Super Munchkin 1 and 2. Munchkin Foo 1 and 2. And the Munchkin Marvel Edition.
Your mom will hate Munchkin.
Yeah, no, she's not a Munchkin player. No. That's more for me. You know what I mean? That's more for me to look at and laugh and, you know, because I do like the cards. So,
if your mom likes Rummy Cube, she would probably like Farkle a lot. She would. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else. She'd probably really like Love Letter. Trying to think of what else. I'll ponder that.
Okay. Send me a message over the weekend. I'll try and get, you know, because I have Amazon Prime and I want to get something
You know what I bet she would like that
Which?
She probably thinks she wouldn't? Is
what?
Zombie Dice. If you have a copy of Zombie Dice.
No, I don't. That's
oh my god, that game is a stitch too, and it sounds stupid, like, oh, I don't like zombie, but it's not like that. It's a very luck based game, and it's sort of it's what I call a push your luck game, because if you get 3 gunshots then you're out of the round, but you know, you're trying to collect brains, and it's like, how many brains can you collect before you get, you know. That's a great game for people who like really simple, fun, fast, you know.
All right. Now, I'm on Amazon, of course, as I just mentioned. And where is it? Okay, I found Zombie Dice. And there's Zombie Dice, Zombie Dice 2 Double Feature, Zombie Dice Brain Case, Zombie Dice Deluxe, excuse me, that's $66, I don't think so. Zombie Dice just, plus Double Feature Expansions plus... I'm just going to get the basic Zombie Dice, right? That's all I need for now?
Just basic Zombie Dice. Start with that. If you want the Double Feature stuff later, you can get it. But the basic Zombie Dice takes about 15 minutes to play a game. It's a lot of luck involved in the game, but there is a little bit of strategy involved as well.
Okay.
And it's a lot of fun.
I have now splurged and put Zombie Dice in my cart. Oh, how is Sushi Go? Have you played that?
Oh my god, that game is so fun. That's a game she would really like. In fact, I would actually recommend that over a Zombie Dice. Because,
well, you know,
Sushi
what it is?
Go.
We're gonna. I'm. What it is? This is what's gonna happen. We're gonna play next week, right? Probably in the afternoon. I'll call my sister. Say I got a bunch of games. Come on over, and then we'll probably the rest of us will start playing Zombie Dice and Sushi Go and Flux and all this other stuff. Back in the day, when I was in high school, as a matter of fact, it was about a year after my parents got divorced, and sadly, we had to go on food stamps for a while, and so Mom says, why don't you play hooky and come out to, we had to go out to Riverhead, which is like half an hour away from here to get her box, you know, the box of government cheese and all that stuff we got to get, we were on at the time, so I went with her, came home, I said, oh, I guess if I hurry, I got 20 minutes before school, she goes, or you could stay home when you play Rummy Cube all day. I swear she let me stay home. Like, huh? She let me play hooky from school. We played Rummy Cube all day. And then the school calls her. Oh, yeah, he had a very bad headache. I'm so sorry. He's sleeping right now, and he should be in school tomorrow.
Oh, and man.
And my cousin's sitting there going, did she just get major brownie points with you? I'm like, holy shit.
Playing hooky. I'm going to call and tell him.
I got to tell, yeah, after all this time, I got to say, that's why I stick close to my mom. I think through the divorce and, you know, everything else that's happened in her life, me and her, we've had each other's backs. Because at the time, my sister was too young to know what was going on. My brother, he was a douchebag. He didn't care, you know, what was going on. So I always stood by her and helped, you know, we pulled each other through about a lot of rough times, so.
Hey, you know, I mean, that's why board gaming's kind of close to my heart. My mom and I used to play board games a lot, so.
And that's why Rummy Cube is, like, I got to say, one of the number one games in my life. As a matter of fact, I have the deluxe edition right here. It comes with the plastic trays to put the things on. And there's two smiley faces in there. And one day we were joking around, and my sister nicknamed them Hermie and Hermet. And I'm like, why are we... And I don't even remember why we started calling them that. It was just a stupid little thing with the smiley faces. Because they're like the wild cards in the game when you get them, so. I don't remember how the name came across, but yes, we have even named our wild cards in the Rummy Cube set. They're not on the card, the tiles. They're like plastic tiles in the game. They're not on there. It's just our little thing.
Hey, I get it. Sushi Go, though?
Yeah.
You cannot go wrong with Sushi Go.
That seems like it'll be fun. And I just had sushi last night. Really, I had a sashimi deluxe because I can't eat that much rice. And let me tell you, I got this thing called Godzilla Roll. Godzilla Roll. Oh, my God, it was so good. It has eel on top, and it has, like, a lot of avocado in the middle. Holy smokes, this thing was awesome. And it has Kikobu, I forget the name of the sauce, but that's what they put on the eel, and it was like awesome.
I would actually recommend that you go over Zombie Dice.
All right.
Although Zombie Dice is a lot of fun.
I think Sushi Go will lead into Zombie Dice or vice versa. So hopefully things go well. We'll do Sushi Go, Zombie Dice, Love Letter, Flux. Probably not the Munchkin games, and we'll probably do a lot of Wormy Cube, so.
If you get a crew that's into it, Munchkin's a lot of fun. But you gotta have three or four people who are like really kind of into it, and it really helps if those people have like played RPGs, you know, Dungeons and Dragons type stuff, or even computer RPGs in the past. Because, I mean, obviously Munchkin or are a fan of whatever theme you're playing. So, you and I used to watch the action theater movies, you know, with the kung fu guys and everything.
Yeah, I
so,
love
I mean,
that.
That would be a lot of fun for us to play. But if you have somebody who really didn't watch the movies and doesn't care about that kind of stuff, they'll be like, "Eh, it's kind of dumb," you know. But you know, and that's why they have so many different. They have like a Western theme one and a spy theme one, and Munchkin in space, and you know all the different themes. And
well,
of course,
like
the base version is of course fantasy themed. So if you have a bunch
and
players,
how many editions? Oh yeah, they have Munchkin Steampunk now. Holy cow! How many expansions do they have for the basic Munchkin game?
Oh my God! If I had to guess, I would probably say about 15 by now. Maybe.
And I'm looking at promo items, booster packs, accessories. You can get the extra different colored token player figures to use for the Munchkin Deluxe. And they also have the guild version of Munchkin.
Yeah, it may even be more. It may be up to like 20 or more by now.
I meant the expansions for Munchkin itself. I meant the...
Yeah, like different versions. Like they have.
Oh, good Lord. I'm looking at the page right here of expansions, whatever, but it's expansions, sequels, and accessories. I just want to see expansions. I'm looking at least eight expansions. Actually, nine, because there's Munchkin 6, Dementin Dungeon, and then Munchkin 6.5. There's Munchkin Treasure Hunt, Munchkin Legends, Adventure Time for Munchkin, Munchkin Conan the Barbarian. What else? Munchkin Night Before Christmas. A Nightmare Before Christmas. I'm sorry. Pathfinder. Pathfinder Gobsmack. Munchkin the Guild. Munchkin Penny Arcade. Munchkin Skull Kickers. Munchkin Zombies. Munchkin Easter Eggs. Wow. It's a lot. It's a lot of Munchkin, people. Munchkins aren't just a thing you get at Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah, it's huge now. I mean, it's a big franchise with all the stuff. But the base game, though, is of course what you really need, and it's a stitch. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, you know what's funny? The other night I was watching the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, and he had somebody on who's on Silicon Valley, and he was talking about he was a Dungeons and Dragons player, but he also plays GURPS, and he talked about GURPS really quick on the show.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny. But I remember GURPS, didn't have GURPS have a superhero version too at one point?
I honestly don't remember.
I could have sworn it was like GURPS Super or something like that. I kid you not. They have GURPS Martial Arts.
I never got into GURPS. I mean, when I was doing role playing, I was pretty much a AD&D second edition guy. I mean,
oh my God, GURPS Martial Arts. There's like a whole list of books you could buy for it. Good Lord.
What did GURPS stand for? It was like general something.
Generic Universal Role Playing System. It's basically one system. I think you need the basic set. And then once you had that, all the other game, the rule books, like for whatever setting you want to play in, you could play with the same rules.
Right.
So you could have a superhero. You could have like a kung fu expert, you know, like a Shaolin monk. I'm just coming up with like steampunk or something like that along the way. So.
But anyway. Five yes. minutes left, and you've got your gaming recommendations. And
there you go. There it is. GURPS Supers. There you go. That's what it's called.
I'll set up. I should set up an app. You know, put in a few parameters and get a game recommendation.
There you go. Too bad you couldn't type something up quick and put it on the web. That's all right. You don't need to. Sorry. I was gonna say maybe over the weekend put it on the Save CUH Radio page, but.
Let's see. What else?
Yeah,
is going
hold on. Code
now
Warrior
that we have 4 minutes left.
Code Warrior, Code Warrior says he didn't care for GURPS. He was Hero System fan, but yeah, I was. The only Hero System thing I played was Champions, and that was before the official Hero System came out for it. But I was playing Champions since like I want to say like 84. Spring of 1984. I kept seeing this game at the local hobby store. And the one day my dad finally decided to get it for me, and I was hooked ever since. I remember saving, like, getting nickels and dimes, because in the middle of the book, you had, like, 8 character sheets you could photocopy with their permission. And I remember one time a friend of mine borrowed it, and turned out that his mom cleans the local banks at nighttime, and he would go once in a while. And he goes, I got a surprise for you, and he handed me a folder of, like, 300 photocopies of the character sheets. I was like, dude, you're awesome. And that began a summer of making of all kinds of different heroes, experimenting with the rules and how it did and just having fun. Then eventually in 86, I was 15, before my 16th birthday, I created a Pokemon with the system. Because we were joking around. We wanted to see how many, if we put a bunch of points in, how far could you travel and how fast you could travel with Super Leap.
Yeah.
And that's how it started. And in one jump, he could either go 4 miles across the city or 2 miles straight up in the air. I think it only takes him like 10 seconds to do that jump. So think about it, 10 seconds leaping across Manhattan.
Well, there you go.
Imagine that. Ain't that something? All right, so now we have a minute and a half left. So this turned out to be a prep for International Tabletop Gaming Day. Thank you, Tony, for all the gaming suggestions. Thank you, Tony, of course, co-hosting. As always, thank you for Diamond D for calling in. Thank you for Code Warrior and guests hanging out in the Blog Talk Radio chat. Thank you to Stryka, to Shrapnel, and Haggis for hanging out with me in the Paragon chat. Don't forget, this Thursday is the 12th anniversary of City of Heroes and celebrating Paragon chat. And Paragon, I wish Mad Viking had been here tonight, but I heard he had a family obligation. Something came up. Thursday also, we'll go to ParagonDawn.com, and we will be listing our involvement on the Champions Online portion for those people who can't get into Paragon chat. And also, Tony, I don't know if you heard this. I had a big week in my, you know, the wrestling app I play, Wrestler Unstoppable, the Facebook game, that is the primary source for this station, because this is like the only non-Wrestler Unstoppable talk show we have, radio show. And in that game, I play character Hollywood Rick Brutal. He's been my wrestler since 2010. And this past 2 weeks ago, he got a message on Facebook, and he was shocked because it finally happened. This past Sunday, Hollywood Rick Brutal was inducted into the Wrestler Unstoppable Hall of Fame.
Woot.
For all his efforts and all his work on the radio show that we do, and, you know, helping the community and just being a great character all around. And even the chairperson said, this is a long time coming. And a lot of people did tell him, you should have got in a lot sooner than you did. But you're in, you know, my thing is, hey, I'm in now, I'm happy. You know, mission accomplished, and just keep doing my thing there. So everybody have a great weekend, and we will talk to you next Friday right before International Tabletop Gaming Day. And have a great weekend, everybody. And Tony, would you like to, we're in the after party, I believe, so we could just BS here for a few seconds. I know Diamond D, if you want to come back on. We are, hey, we're in the after party. Sorry about the gaming chat.
Oh, no, that's cool. That's cool. I was really,
I wound up my, I was going to go through my loot crate on air tonight.
Oh.
It's all right. You know, we'll do it next week. But you know what it was? I think it was important to do the gaming thing this week. Because next week it would have been like, great, it's tomorrow. I can't run out and get these games. At least people have a week to get the games that you suggested.
Man, I was sad to hear about China. That was...
Oh, my God. I heard about that. I had to run out, came back, put CNN on, maybe if they were going to mention anything. Prince is dead at age 57.
Yeah,
oh,
okay,
I was going to mention tonight.
I'm working night, I was sleeping during the day, and when I woke up, I saw the stuff about Prince. And
I was like, wow, that was more devastating, because that was out of nowhere. That was like...
I have to admit, I was not a big... I'm not a big Prince fan. I don't hate the guy or anything. I just...
Right.
You know, I just never, I was never a big fan of his music. And plus, you know, I mentioned this on Facebook, and I hate to speak ill of the dead, but the guy was sort of a dick to Weird Al, you know? Like, Weird Al always asked the artist for permission to parody their songs. And I don't think he necessarily has to, because, you know, a parody is protected by the First Amendment and what I don't know about commercial success from it. But at any rate, but, you know, it's just sort of a courtesy. He always likes to get permission from the artist before he released parodies and stuff. And Prince is like one of the few artists that told him in no uncertain terms, no, he was not allowed to parody Prince songs.
Wow.
And it was even so bad, as not only did Prince deny him permission to parody his songs, but at one point, I distinctly remember that they were at some music award show or something like the Grammys, and Weird Al released a new album or something. Prince's lawyers actually sent Weird Al a letter demanding that he not even make eye contact with Prince while they were at the show. Yeah, and it's like...
What a douchebag.
Are you serious? I mean, it's like, do you really think you're that, you know? So, you know, as far as the guy's music, I wasn't a big fan, because I hated the whole 80s pop thing. I couldn't stand those guys, you know. The music, the people themselves, you know, I'm not one way or the other on. But, you know, I will say the guy had talent. I mean, I've watched him play, and he's an extraordinarily talented musician.
And you know what's funny?
Music, but
if you ever... Go. I was going to say really quickly, have you ever watched the Chappelle show when it was on?
Yeah, I did once or twice. I wasn't
There was one where Dave Chappelle spoofs Prince.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. That was unbelievable. That was fun.
Yeah, because Prince got all pissed off about that, too. And,
I'm sure he did.
And it's like, you know, dude, you need to stop. I mean, here's the thing. Like, Weird Al, he did that parody of Money for Nothing, the Beverly Hillbillies. And he calls up Mark Knopfler, who's like the lead of Dire Straits, and says, "Hey, I'd like to do a parody of Money for Nothing." And Mark Knopfler says, "Okay, not only am I giving you permission to do that, but I want to play the guitar on it." And Al's like, "Are you serious?" And he's like, "Yeah." So if you go out and Google like Weird Al Beverly Hillbillies and listen to the song, that's actually Mark Knopfler playing the guitar riffs that he did from Money for Nothing on the song.
Oh, that's funny.
Most artists are like, yeah, that would be great. You know, he talked to Kurt Cobain over the whole Smells Like Teen Spirit, and he says Kurt Cobain thought that it was hilarious.
A lot of artists were really cool with him doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, kind of on the same note that Tony's talking about here.
Yeah.
And again, not to be, you know, dissing the dead or whatever, but when Guitar Hero was around, Prince refused to let any of his songs be on the albums because he wanted kids to actually go out and learn how to play the guitar as opposed to playing a video game. Whereas, you know,
oh my God, I just, this was posted 2 hours ago on Facebook. Michelle McNamara, the wife of Patton Oswalt, dead at 46.
I saw that on Twitter. Yeah.
Wow.
That's really sad. I like Patton Oswalt. It's hilarious, and I feel bad for him because I wonder what happened. I mean, that was really sudden. But
damn.
But I don't know. I just, Prince, to me, it's like the guy, he was a talented guy, but he took himself way too seriously, and that always sort of turned me off.
Well, also, too, God, and I remember this, like, when YouTube was, It was past 2005, but it was definitely between, like, when ads started really popping up a lot. He didn't want any of his you could not find Purple Rain, the video to Purple Rain, on YouTube. I remember there was an article or something to that effect. Like, it would keep getting posted. It was a VH1. Because I remember the VH1 logo. I've seen it a few times. But every time that it would get posted, it would get taken down. Like, his people would go out, find it, and get it taken down.
Because, you know, you mentioned that. Yesterday, I had wanted to load up Let's Go Crazy on the soundboard. I couldn't find an actual copy from Prince. It was a karaoke version.
Right, like, I even tried to find the Purple Rain video yesterday on YouTube, and I got on some, like, offshoot website to watch it again.
Oh,
but again,
okay, guys, really quickly, we've got about two minutes, because there's another show coming in at 11, so they want their time to get in and do what they got to do.
Well, I'll catch you all next week. Thanks for having me.
All right. Okay, sorry about that. D, thank you for calling in. Hold on, I'm just sending a message. Damn it. Come on. We'll be out of studio. Okay. I told him we'll be out of the studio in 2 minutes. All right, Tony. I will get in touch with you in a few minutes. I want to talk to you about something off air. So, no big deal. With that, thank you again for co-hosting. And again, thank you for all the gaming help. I hope you all go out there and find something cool to play. Even if it's, you know, even if it's a deck of cards, you play Go Fish or War or, you know, something. I think even this year they're allowing video games. I think that's how it works now. So even if you just, as long as you do something, be social, though. I mean, don't just sit there playing video games by yourself. Have a friend over, do a co-op game, fight each other, you know, do something. That's the whole point. Be sociable about this. That's what I always loved about playing Rummy Cube with my mom, because we, you know, joke around and laugh all day, or, you know, for hours and hours we play this game, and my sister would join in and we'd all laugh and take like 10-minute joke breaks, you know, pause breaks for laughing. So when you need a break from a game to laugh, you know, because you're laughing so hard having fun, you know, that's the point of the game. So with that, everybody, have a great week. Enjoy the weather. I'm hoping it's going to be nice this week. And we will see you all next Friday night, the night before International Tabletop Day. Have a lot of fun. Go out there, buy some games. And like I said, whatever you do, just have some fun. Enjoy. Life is a journey. Enjoy the ride.
Sounds good.
Amen. And with that, Tony, if you do the honors, say good night, please, sir.
Good night, please, sir.
Well done.